place is near Langley, Virginia. The building is the headquarters of the Central Intelligence Agency, the CIA. The site of the headquarters is no secret now, though it was in the past. Until 1973, the roads leading to the CIA were totally unmarked. Today, there is a sign reading Central Intelligence Agency. But the headquarters building, a huge, ultra-modern, seven-story structure, cannot be seen from the highway. Appropriately, it is located on 125 wooded, fenced, guarded, and secluded acres, about 10 miles from downtown Washington, D.C. Assuming you could get past the security guard at the outer gate, you would see this statue on the right as you enter the headquarters. It is a statue of Nathan Hale, who is something of a direct ancestor of the thousands of people who work in this place. The ones that you can see, and the thousands of other people you can't see, who are espionage and intelligence agents all over the world. As a foreign intelligence operation, what is the CIA all about? What is its purpose, its function? And why has it become a subject of national review and debate and controversy? Spying, espionage, counter-espionage, intelligence gathering. The tools of government leaders since ancient times. George Washington valued espionage. In 7 years of the American Revolution, he spent more than $17,000 on spies. Perhaps not much by today's standards, but significant then. One of Washington's spies slipped behind British lines to determine their strength and positions. He was on his way back with the information hidden in his shoe when he was captured. Nathan Hale was hanged the next morning, September 22, 1776, at the age of 21. Legend attributes to him the words, "I only regret that I have but one life to lose for my country." Those words are, today, at the base of his statue at CIA headquarters. Methods for gathering intelligence about other governments have varied, from open or overt means, such as reading and interpreting official documents, and monitoring public foreign broadcasts, to secretive attempts, espionage, spying. But the United States, like most, if not all governments, has never questioned that the gathering of intelligence is necessary for national security and for the most effective conduct of foreign affairs. Indeed, by the 1920s, the United States had developed one of the best decoding centers in the world as one way to gather information about foreign governments. But Secretary of State Henry Stimson closed down the decoding center in 1929, contending that gentlemen do not read each other's mail. 12 years later, in 1941, the Japanese attacked Pearl Harbor in one of the most effective surprises in military history. It was perhaps the costliest failure of intelligence in U.S. history. Ironically, it was a failure of coordination, not information. Most of it occurred in this building, known today as the Executive Offices Building. In those days, the Departments of State, War, and Navy were all there. Each of these departments had collected separate clues from radio intercepts, diplomatic dispatches, and routine military intelligence reports. Put together, the pieces would have supplied the picture of Japanese intentions. But nobody coordinated the information and told President Roosevelt. The surprise attack on Pearl Harbor killed or wounded thousands of Americans, crippled the U.S. Pacific Fleet, and brought the nation into World War II. Hurriedly, the United States established a new intelligence service, the Office of Strategic Services, or OSS, led by Major General William Wild Bill Donovan. Into the OSS came young men from America's colleges with little or no experience. but they performed all over the world with daring and distinction. They dropped by parachute behind enemy lines in Europe and Asia. They broke enemy codes. They kidnapped enemy leaders. They killed and were killed. They learned the intelligence business in war. One OSS man was a brilliant operator named Alan Dulles, who arranged to penetrate the German Foreign Office itself. He would be heard from later. Another was William Kolbe. He parachuted behind German lines in France. Kolbe, too, would be heard from later. After the war, the OSS, no longer considered necessary in peacetime, was disbanded. But Harry Truman also remembered Pearl Harbor. And in 1947, President Truman established through the National Security Act the Central Intelligence Agency. Its principal function was to correlate, evaluate, and distribute intelligence relating to the national security. The act restricted the CIA to the field of foreign intelligence. The CIA was to report directly to the National Security Council, of which the president is chairman. A key portion of the 1947 Act called for the agency to perform such other functions and duties related to intelligence as the National Security Council may from time to time direct. The new agency also was provided special exemptions, such as those requiring disclosure of its budget, functions, names, or number of personnel. With the establishment of the CIA, many of the old OSS men came back into the espionage service. They returned to the unpretty world of intelligence, these men who had learned their craft in war. But it was a changed world. The war was now cold, not hot. Yesterday's ally was today's enemy. And the stakes were now the ultimate, the destruction of civilization itself. Senator Frank Church, chairman of the Senate Select Committee on Intelligence, recalls,
"In those myopic years, the world was seen as up for grabs between the United States and the Soviet Union. In the words of a former Secretary of State, a desperate struggle was going on in the back alleys of world politics. Every upheaval, wherever it occurred, was likened to a pawn on a global chessboard to be moved this way or that by the two principal players. This led the CIA to plunge into a full range of covert activities designed to counteract the competitive efforts of the KGB.
The KGB, the Soviet Committee for State Security, had been headed by this man, Yuri Andropov. William Kolbe, the young OSS agent who went on to become director of the CIA in 1973, once compared his job with that of Andropov. Kolbe said Andropov had wide access to easily acquired information about America from published and public sources. Out of this, Kolbe said, the Russians had only to choose those facts which were significant and assemble them into an accurate assessment of America. Kolbe said his job, on the other hand, was to search for individual facts kept in the utmost secrecy in closed societies, and with those few facts, try to construct the whole picture. Kolbe noted that because of this situation, there has been a continued need for Americans and friendly foreigners who are willing to undertake clandestine or secretive intelligence operations. This was especially true during the tensions of the Cold War after World War II, when, in the interplay of secret moves and secret countermoves, the CIA grew and grew, and Americans asked few questions about it. In those days, Americans generally were not questioning the motives of their government or its methods. But then came the war in Vietnam, and the scandals of Watergate, and the resignation of a president. In that lingering atmosphere of skepticism and doubt, secret practices of the CIA were brought out of the shadows by the press, and congressmen who began to question the operating arrangements of the entire intelligence community. The result was a national furor and a national debate. Much of the debate centered around the attempts by the CIA to influence the affairs of other nations by clandestine means. It was revealed that in 15 years since 1961, the United States had conducted about 900 covert operations, secretive attempts to influence the internal affairs of foreign governments in support of U.S. policy. Had the CIA abused its authority in these operations? Where should the lines be drawn? At what point does a government of law stop men who lie, steal, blackmail, and bug in the name of national security? Should a nation that prides itself on the historic belief of self-determination deal at all in plots to change the governments and leaders of other lands? The answers are not easy. But the questions had to be asked and answered.